Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're still reviewing the tape. Michigan State 30, Penn State 27. Another one of those close losses. And Dustin, we spent most of the time, of course, on the offense and me whining in the first two quarters. Let's change over. Let's talk about the defense. And, you know, especially earlier in the year, I was constantly talking about what a great defense this is. And our colleague Ross Tucker, it was, I guess, the Iowa game where he first took a bit of a shot at them when he said, hey, they had a two-score lead in the second half and couldn't hold it. I thought that was a little bit unfair. But what he said has now become a trend. They have been giving up those big plays in an untimely fashion. And now I'm beginning to wonder, there are definitely a lot of really good players on this defense, but the total, I'm not sure it's matching the sum of the parts.
Yeah, I mean, that might be fair. I don't know. I mean, that Iowa game, it's unfair to say they couldn't protect. I mean, they spent the entire, I don't know, second, third, and fourth quarters pretty much on their end of the field. At some point in time, I mean, Iowa had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to give up, you know, to create a big play. They made one play call in that game, and they won as a result of it. But that aside, I mean, you know, I think the fact that this Penn State defense struggled so badly against that Illinois team was more so a product of coaching and a lack of adjustment, not knowing how to handle how Illinois was treating those gaps and how they were loading the line of scrimmage. There was no real adjustment to that in that game, and that you saw the end result. So these teams that were committed to the run and really tried to cram it down Penn State's throat, they did it, but they buckled down and they got tough in the red zone. That was the theme a lot of the year. Now, you know, against Michigan State, this looked like the 2020 defense at times. You know, the defense was at a disadvantage in the snow because the offense can dictate when the offensive player knows where he's going and knows where he's cutting. When it's a slick surface, that has the defenders on their heels a little bit and can make the difference between getting a stop, not getting a stop. That being said, Michigan State's defense appeared to handle that dynamic better than Penn State's defense did. And it was even more inexplicable to not be running Jahan Dotson at their coverage wherever they were going. So we covered that ground already. This defense, when it came to tackling in these conditions, was not acceptable. You know, the first guy who arrives on the scene, it just seemed like very often did not make the tackle in this play. And that was uncharacteristic. Even when they weren't playing at their best, you know, during those lost weeks in the middle of the year, the Penn State defense was still executing at a high level. They were still flying to the football, gang tackling, you know, wrapping up pretty securely. All that went out the window in this game. A lot of yards after the first tackle opportunity presented itself. And I think that's one area where Brent Pry and the staff are going to look at it. I'm sure they reviewed the film and were not very happy about, you know, the execution in that way. You know, you saw Brandon Smith, a pretty glaring, you know, it was a swing pass I don't remember exactly the circumstances, but he didn't break down and get into a tackle position. He flew at the ball carrier and he dove right past him. And it was a first down in a situation where Penn State shouldn't have given up a first down. You know, there were a lot of situations like that. Now, I'm not really ready to look at this game and to look at the Iowa game and say that this Penn State defense was this or that, because what ended up happening is, you know, you talk about complementary football and three phases. When the offensive phase can't do anything, and when they can't generate any momentum, when they can't really swing field position, when they don't put points on the board, when they don't create big plays that generates momentum and kind of puts some wind at the Penn State defense's sails, yeah, I mean, they weren't the same defense, but I also don't think they were getting nearly enough help from the offense, and in some of these situations, they weren't getting nearly enough help from the coaching staff.
They weren't, but there starts to be... on defense, there are plays that are made by your opponent that you just say, hey, those things happen. Until, as I said earlier, when things start to become a trend, when you see them over and over again. You know, you mentioned Iowa. Well, I felt it was pretty easy to say the defense played so well, but they were, you asked them to do so much that there was one breakdown, not that big a deal. But then you had the breakdowns against Illinois. Then you had the big play against Michigan late in that game. You had a lead here against, you know, Michigan State, and there were the plays, as you described. There was Joey Porter's pass interference was on a 3rd-and-13 play. You totally bailed out your opponent. And the 4th-and-15 play, once more, as you said, Johnny Dixon was in position but didn't make the play. That's where I'm starting to see this as a trend. Those plays happening late in the game, you had a lead, but the defense couldn't hold on to it.
And I don't know. Well, I don't know what's happening with Joey Porter Jr. because there. This is probably the third or fourth time that I've used the word grabby in the notes that I send you before we sit down and record. Right. These are. I don't know how many DPI calls that he's got, but it's had over the last 4 weeks. It has to have been like 5 or 6. You know, and what? How do you combat that? You know, like I think there are certain types of cornerbacks who tend to go through that, who get a little over aggressive in these situations. And I think you could use that word to just describe Joey Porter Jr. But he is a good corner. He can run and cover. You know, some of these are just unnecessary. You know, I think it's just he gets into desperation mode when he doesn't need to get into desperation mode, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There have just been some breakdowns here, and we've talked about breakdowns a lot in previous years. But for a lot of this season, you know, you just didn't see these types of breakdowns happening, and they've popped up late, and it just untimely in this game. And, you know, if you're giving up a 20-yard touchdown on 4th-and-15, you don't deserve to win on the road against a pretty good team. And that's what Penn State did. You know, when the game got late and there were opportunities to make plays, Michigan State did an outstanding job of putting themselves in position to make plays, and Penn State just didn't, you know, and you saw that. That was the difference in this game. And I think, you know, Michigan State was just in general really in a very similar spot this week as Penn State was last week against Rutgers. You know, have some injury issues. You have some guys who weren't 100%. You have the illness thing and guys who are really laboring through that. You come off a 56-7 loss to Ohio State. You're kind of left for dead by a lot of people, and you have to come back from that Ohio State loss, and you have to come back into the meeting rooms on Sunday and Monday and own all the bad play and try to move forward from it. And Mel Tucker Jr., you know, I think – he showed his coaching chops this past week by having this team even remotely ready to take on a good team. And they were ready from the opening, from their very first drive of the game. You know, they dictated the terms. Penn State was on their heels. Whatever Penn State was ready for, Michigan State was throwing some different things at them, creating big plays down the field, kind of off the setup of Penn State gearing up to stop the run. You know, the better team won on Saturday, and Michigan State did something that I felt like a James Franklin coach team has never really done, which is come back from a kind of humiliating loss and play great football again. We haven't seen Penn State do that very often under James Franklin.
We'll hit more on the coaches in the fourth quarter. Before we get there, though, let's talk a little bit special teams. Jordan Stout has been so good on kickoffs, been great with punting, absolutely great, but been shaky on field goals. We know that they last year used Jake Pinniger on shorter field goals. Was it, I believe it was the first game, Wisconsin, he missed a chip shot then also, which had everyone saying, where's Jake Pinniger? Is this a case where, again, a little too loyal to a guy in Jordan Stout who has been shaky on those shorter field goals?
Yeah, I would say that's dead on in my view. And I don't know how they handled this behind the scenes at practice. When was the last time Jake Pinniger got an actual real long look to try to unseat Jordan Stout? Jordan Stout, I mean, for all the tremendous things that he does on kickoffs and long field goals and certainly in the punting game, he just looks like a guy, you know, a pitcher who throws 100 that you're asking him to throw 75 on these short field goal attempts. It just doesn't look very natural. Jake Pinneger, you know, I get it. He lost that battle fair and square. But when you have a guy in Jordan Stout who's doing so much and handling all those duties in the kicking game, I do think it should give you more pause to open up that job or evaluate that more frequently throughout the season. Then if your starting kicker is struggling, that's one thing. Maybe you ride it out. And James Franklin, you know, he will again and again risk being loyal to a fault over pulling the plug too quickly. But I do think that Jake Pinneger probably should have gotten a look at the very least to come back into that arrangement where he's handling things from 40 yards and inside. What did he do last season in a real competitive atmosphere? I get it, behind at practice he lost the kicking competition, but what did he do last year to believe that he couldn't have done that job again if you asked him to? And so that's where we are. You know, I think Jordan Stout probably wasn't ever really the best candidate to boot it from inside 40. I don't know, you know, technically what has gone wrong in those situations. But in this game, the missed extra point and the missed field goal more than made up for the 3-point difference.
And also you have a situation where James Franklin all along said, oh, he doesn't like having his kicker do all the kicking the way Jordan Stout's been doing it. And I believe also when Jake Pinneger lost the job, I think he was dealing with a little bit of an injury too at that time. So that could have factored into it then, which is all the more reason why maybe you give him another chance now. The other part to it that I found interesting was we as fans have been noticing Penn State just fair catches every kickoff. It's what they do. Every week they never try to return it. Finally, this week, it appeared they made a conscious decision. We're going to start returning kicks. And it actually looked pretty good with Devin Ford doing it. He did a nice job. Lo and behold, you have John Lovett, who hadn't touched the ball all game. All of a sudden, late in game, he gets his first touch. I don't know if he's from Texas. I know he had played at Baylor, playing in the snow, cold. His first touch comes in the fourth quarter, and look what happens.
Yeah, he kind of ran right into contact on that one, and I don't think there should have been much of a surprise that he was going to take a pretty hard hit. Like he just didn't really avoid contact. But I think by the way, just the effort to return kicks, it had to have something to do with the weather conditions and the inability to really react quickly in that situation from the other team. How else can you describe doing what they did for 11 weeks and then shifting gears? And in the end, you know, the fumble ends up costing them.
Exactly. There was a conscious decision, though. That was pretty obvious to change the strategy. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter number three. When we come back in quarter number four, I'm going to ask you about our $85 million man. Stay tuned.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.